Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to talk about always enough today. Always enough. I remember when I was just a kid, and it's been a few years ago, but I've been one, went into a Gibson's in Brownwood, Texas. Anybody remember Gibson's? That's for Kmart, so that puts a little age on me. And there was a rod that I wanted for my rod and reel, a rod. It was $1.49, so you know it was a few years ago. I had saved my money in my piggy bank for it. And I brought my rod up to the cashier, and I had both hands full of pennies and nickels and dimes. I'm sure the cashier was glad to see that. Emptied it out. And I liked 3 cents having enough. And a kind gentleman behind me threw in the 3 cents, and I got my rod. But it wasn't quite enough, so he made up the difference. But when we're not enough, and when things don't offer enough, God is always enough. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our text here, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commended a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward you make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord God sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray your blessings upon the ministry of the word. Anoint your servant to speak, all of us to hear and to receive of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Always enough. The setting of this story comes at a time when it was one of the most wicked times in the nation of Israel, when King Ahab reigned as king there. Okay? And King Ahab was not a good king. It was a time of wickedness in that nation. It was a time of idolatry, a departure from the law of God. And so, to make things worse, Ahab married the wrong woman. Chapter 16, verse 31. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ithbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Verse 33, Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. That's not much of a legacy, is it? Or it's a bad one, if it is any kind. So things were not good under Ahab's reign. And he married a woman who's more evil than he was. And you say, how can any good come out of that? Well, not much good did come out of it. And I married a young couple one time years ago. It's not any of you, so don't worry about it. And so later on, the woman became discouraged. She's not used to being married. She wasn't used to a man's way of thinking, everything. She said, I think I married a caveman. I didn't say it, but I thought, yeah, I think he married a cave woman too. I didn't say it. Well, I just got through, didn't I? Anyway, I didn't say it then. And so she didn't think he was enough of a man for her. But here, Israel had forsaken God. They had broken all the commandments, and therefore God sent his hand to correct this country. And not just a hand of discipline, but also a hand of judgment. Because God will not put up with serving other gods and the Baals and all the false gods that are out there. And God sent a special man, Prophet Elijah, with a message of judgment if there was no repentance. Okay? And we notice in verse 1 of our text here, chapter 17 of 1 Kings. And Elijah speaks to Ahab here, and he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. In other words, the prophet said to the king, said, you think it's dry now, it's not going to rain till I say it can. And I'm sure that Ahab was used to prophets coming and saying things that weren't true because he was under false prophecy now, not with Elijah, but before that. And all the prophets of Baal were there, and he had 400 of them, prophets of Baal. And there were, you know, I'm sure he heard all good things and all bad things, but he had never heard anybody come along and say, hey, it's not going to rain again till I say it can. So what a statement, but you know that we know that God, that Elijah was a true prophet of God, and he spoke the truth. He said what God told him to say. And so we see that God sends a drought, and in the book of Deuteronomy we find there that one of the curses that would come along with Israel if they didn't follow the Lord was that God would not let it rain on their crops. And so God here calls Elijah to separate himself. Verse 3, he says, get away from here and turn toward eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And so God said, it's time, Elijah, for you to separate yourself from Ahab and from these people for a while. I've got things to do with you. And so here was the man of God. He would separate himself from Ahab and the false prophets that were with him. And he leads him to a place called the brook Cherith. And incidentally, the word Cherith here means separation. And so, but this brook Cherith had water, and so water was something that was becoming more and more unavailable every day because there had been no rain on the land. And yet God would provide, and God does provide for those who are loyal to him. Because God loves people, and love in the scripture means loyalty. And love is not what our, you know, what the common definition is in society. Love can mean almost anything that's not true. Men are always, love can be temporary, or love can be just having to do with people's carnal desires or stuff like that. But love in God's word means loyalty. God is loyal to his people. He never fails. He never quits. He never gives up. He's loyal all of his life, all of our lives. Praise God. And here we find that God used the unusual, and he does that. God does use unusual things sometimes, unusual people, and there's a whole list of illustration that would come of unusual people God used, including myself. But God used the unusual here. He had ravens to bring food in the morning and the evening to Elijah here while he drank from the brook Cherith, and so he was provided for. And so God used ravens. Ravens were unclean birds in the Old Testament. And let me just say this. There are some things in the Bible that just maybe puzzle us. But God always has a cleanup crew. When there was war or famine and the death of many people, enemies of God and their horses, God had a cleanup crew. is called vultures and buzzards and crows and ravens, and they would come and they fed on dead things. And they were not allowed to eat any of those type of birds in the Old Testament because they fed on death. And you know, and so God used unclean bird, unlikely source, to bring food to Elijah in the wilderness. Amen. And if you want to make a spiritual application, you and I shouldn't feed on unclean things, sinful things, because they bring death. The wages of sin is death. So let's feed on those things that are true and pure and holy and righteous. Let's feed on the fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh. Okay? And so God used this unusual thing, ravens, to bring food in the morning and the evening. I guess then they believed in two meals a day instead of three. But the same God who fed the nation with manna for 40 years would still provide for his servant. And God had provided manna in the wilderness for 40 years as Israel wandered there for 40 years. And God would still provide there. Amen. And God still provides today. And God always has enough. And 30 years ago or so, 33 years ago, was it 33? Anyway, a long time ago, Sister Norma and I, we both left good jobs in Steenville, Texas, to take a small church in El Dorado, Texas. You've heard more about it, and so I hadn't talked about El Dorado in a while, so I will again, so you don't forget. But the salary there was about $50 a week, and so I had to go to work, and I was used to working, still am, and I don't mind working. But there is in El Dorado, Texas, the only town in the county, and it is a big county. And it only had 2,000 people. And to my knowledge, there was not a convenience store anywhere else in the whole county. And so a lady came to me one day, and she said, I don't know if you as a pastor, this is below your level or not, but you could have a job at my restaurant washing dishes. I said, I'll take it right now. I had a kid to raise, had a wife to take care of, and $50 a week just wouldn't cut it. And so I started working there. It was unusual. But thank God it paid, and we made it, and God opened a better job up later. And so God is always makes sure there's enough. It may not always be the way we want it, but God makes sure there's enough. And so during this time, it was during a spiritual famine that God provided for Elijah. And there may be spiritual famines in your life. There may be times when it's hard to pray and when things seem to go wrong, and you know they should go right, but they just go wrong. And when tragedy strikes and you're not used to it and you're not ready for it and nobody's ready for tragedy, or maybe it's a job source that don't have what you need at the time, or when your security is threatened and it just seems like there's not enough. But I want to give you good news this morning. God is always enough. Amen. And David said one time in the book of Psalms, he says, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." I want to tell you, there's never a time when God doesn't have enough. He's not never a time when God doesn't provide enough. God will always make sure you're taken care of if you'll walk with Him, talk with Him, and live for Him. If you go off on your own and you go out and do sinful things like Ahab and the people have done here, you may suffer a spiritual drought in your life. But God hasn't forgotten you if you're your intention is to walk with Him, and you walk with Him. Praise the Lord. And just because bad things happen in your life, it does not mean that you have backslidden as Israel had. If you have, repent. But you long to feel close to God again. You need reassurance. I traveled with a singing group one time called Assurance. And it was a good group. Had good sound, everything, good instruments. It was a good group. Amen. But after I traveled with them for a while, they bought a bus and decided they would go all over the country in the summer. It was at a Bible college. And I thought, you know, that bus, it won't make it back without trouble. And the name of the group might have been Assurance, but I needed reassurance. And I didn't have any assurance, and I didn't travel with them. And sure enough, they had bus trouble on their tour, and so I went with another group and stayed with them. It was good because I married the piano player. I was a bass player. And so God is always enough. You may not have backslidden or turned away from God, but God hasn't forgotten you. God's love is still the same. He is unchanging. He still cares for you. He still has plans for you. Praise the Lord. And he still is able to help you and to strengthen you and walk you through whatever you may be facing today. And he gives great promises to us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, and I don't believe this promise was just for the people of Jeremiah's day, but I think we can take this promise as ours also as well. In Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, you ought to memorize this. I should. All of us should. And it says, God says to his people there, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." I want to tell you, friend, we have the greatest hope that anybody could ever have. We have the hope of an eternity with God, amen, a forever with the creator of the ends of the earth. You are wonderfully blessed today because God has an eternity plan for you to give you a future and to give you a hope. And we as his church are looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So God has given us a future and God has given us a hope. When things look bad, it doesn't mean there are. They are, because God gives us future and gives us a hope. And God has not forgotten you. And because God's given us a future and a hope, God's not saying, "I'll get to you a few years from now." We can embrace that future now. God has given us the gift of eternal life, and we start living it now. Even though we die physically, we'll never die spiritually. We've been born again. And so there's always assurance from God, always enough hope, always enough assurance, always enough grace when you fail, and always enough work of the Holy Spirit to lead you to repentance when you do fail. And the Word of God says here, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And there's always enough when you serve God. He always hears, he always cares, he always understands. You're not going to come up with a new problem that God had never heard of. I've seen people testify to that. I know God never heard of this before, but this happened to me. Let me tell you, God's heard of it 20 times before he's heard of it, your version of it. And so he knows how to help people. Praise the Lord. And here in this passage, God uses another unlikely source. There's a time when the water in the brook Cherith run out, and there was no more water there. And Elijah was a man of God. He was listening to God, and you and I need to be listening to God's voice through his word and through prayer and know when to move forward. And when God is pushing you or telling you to do something or telling you to make a move here or there, and I'm talking about moving from equipment or some other land, don't just make a move spiritually or whatever God wants you to do. Because there's a time when God wants you to move forward. And you know, Elijah wasn't just a prophet in the Bible. He was a man of God. He knew how to talk to God. And it says in the book of James, chapter 5, it says, it refers back to him here. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. He was somebody just like you and me. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. How would you like for that kind of person to be praying for you? Good. It would be good if you were living for God. It wouldn't be very good if you weren't. But he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So the brook Cherith had dried up, so it's time to go, Elijah. It's time to move on with God. And you and I need to live for God and keep walking with God. Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So we need to keep going forward with God. And so God not only used the ravens to feed Elijah, but God provided a widow to take care of him, of all things, of all people. And Lord, couldn't you have gotten somebody with a little bit in a higher position, somebody that was paid, maybe even a politician that got paid? Well, God wasn't going to do that to Elijah. Too many lies going around there. And Elijah was a man of truth. And so a widow in those days had no means of survival. They didn't have Social Security. They depended on others to give them the necessities of life, food and water and clothing. And so, as a matter of fact, God told them when they harvested their crops to leave the corners of the field open and let the poor people get to the corners of the field and harvest what was there for their source of food. And so you have there, that's the Old Testament welfare program. God put it there in the corners of the field, but it was your job to go get it. That needs to be preached in America. Okay, let me get back to the Bible here. And so this widow comes, or Elijah is told to go to this Zarephath and said, there's a widow woman there, and she's going to take care of you. And I can assure Elijah said, a widow, yeah, God. But, you know, God had just got through feeding him with bread and water morning and evening at the brook Cherith. And so why would he doubt that God could use a widow? He did. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. And indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks, and she was going to make a meal for her and her son. And then their great hope after that was to starve to death. And Elijah comes and said, please bring me a cup of water. She didn't know Elijah. And here a Gentile woman. And he asked her, would you bring me a cup of water? And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, could you bring me a piece of bread while you're at it? Ladies, doesn't that just sound like a man? Okay. Let me move on. I know you're anxious for me too. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and then die. So here was a woman and her son without any hope of anything or God doing anything for them. But God had other plans for this widow and her son. Amen. A most unlikely source. Yeah, but God uses that. God can use even me and even you, and does, and wishes to use us all. Amen. And this seems very selfish of the prophet in a way. Would you bring me a little water in a cup, and while you're at it, bring me something to eat too? Man, he knew people were starving to death. He knew that there had been a drought on the earth for 3.5 years, or a long time. It would last 3.5 years. And you know, people didn't have a lot of extra, and they depended on rain. They depended on for their crops, and that's the way they ate. Amen. And that's the way we eat too. If you don't, you know, not everything comes from Walmart or Brookshire's. It has to be grown somewhere. Man. And so this seems a little bit selfish of the prophet. And they were convinced of death and starvation. And it seems a little more selfish even further on. We get to verse 13. Elijah said, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Here this woman and her son are about to die, and he says, if you got a little bit of bread, give me a bite first. That sounds just really selfish. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. But God was speaking to Elijah. And so there would always be enough if she would just be obedient to God. And verse 14 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that bin of flour that you've got there and that little jar of oil, it's never going to run out till God brings rain on the earth. And they ate and drank of that until the Lord sent rain upon the earth and the crops were restored. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. That's what God can do. God has not run out. God has not quit. God always had enough. Every time she went back to fix a meal for her and her son, there was always enough to fix for her son and for herself. And they continued many days in that fashion, seeing a miracle of God each time that she went to make a cake for her and her son, or make bread for her and her son. It's always there. And so they had to have faith, had to come in right here. We know that faith without works is dead. She went and she prepared that, and her faith was put to action, and God continually provided for her because she believed what God had said through the man of God there. And this widow had to believe that this man was from God to start with. She didn't know. She had to believe that her and her son would be provided for. She had to act on faith. She prepared food for the prophet. She did the will of God, the work of God, and God showed that he would be faithful to her and that he would always provide enough for her and her son. She had to have faith that God had sent him to this widow, or Elijah had to have faith that God had sent him to this widow. Elijah had to have faith that God was greater than the famine, that God was greater than what appeared impossible. And you and I have to believe also that God is greater than any family problem that you may have. God is greater than society's problems. God is greater than the coronavirus. God is greater than the resources. Has resources we cannot see. I want to tell you, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen. God has everything that you need, all that you need, and plenty on top of that. Praise God. What did God in Scripture, amen, he is the same, what it says in the Scripture, he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me encourage you this day, friend, if you've run out of something, God has a never-ending supply. If you don't have enough peace in your heart, God is able to bring more peace. If you don't have enough love, God can put love there. Praise the Lord. If you don't have what you need today, God can give it. He's powerful and faithful, and he always has enough and is enough. Glory to God. And we must believe that God is unchanging. I've already quoted it in Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's all-knowing. God knows you. God sees you. God loves you. God hears you. It's our part to trust him. Provision is who God is. Amen. God revealed himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see, the Lord will provide. That's what that means. When God told Abraham to go sacrifice your only son on the Mount Moriah, and they took the fire and the wood, but there was no sacrifice, and they got to the place of sacrifice, and Isaac said, "Well, Father, here we have the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb that's to be offered?" And God and Abraham said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." And God bound his only son Isaac, because God had told him, said, Isaac's going to die as a sacrifice. Man. And how could Abraham believe that? Because God was so against human sacrifice, very much against it. And so he knew that somehow or another God had a plan here. And so he's bound his son Isaac and put him on the pile of wood and is ready to run the knife through his heart of his own son. And God called out of heaven and told him, "Abraham, now I know that you'll do whatever I ask." And there was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham went and took the ram out of the thicket and offered it up in the place or in the stead of his son. So God provided. And how can I go on without fulfilling this? This was no doubt a type of Christ in the sense that there was no ram caught in the thicket when God gave his only begotten son for us. Jesus took our place on Calvary. He poured out his soul unto death there. Praise the Lord. And so the perfect Lamb of God was offered up for us instead of us. Praise the Lord. He took our place on Calvary. Praise the Lord. And so I can tell you, God never runs out. God always has enough. He's always enough, and he always provides enough. There's enough grace in God for provision for your sins. There's enough blood shed on Calvary's tree to blot out every black stain of sin in your life. There's enough grace of God to forgive you when you fail. It doesn't say fail as often as you want to, but it says when we do fail, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And let us remember God's promises. Amen. God makes a statement through the psalmist in Psalms 43 where it says, "Though the waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn." And you see, God's river never runs out of water. He's always flowing to you and I spiritually, to whatever we need. And though our plans may fail, disappointments may come and will come, and our feelings will be challenged, yet God is in charge of your life and the life that you have given to Him, and God will not quit and God will not mess up. And God loves us, and though things may seem wrong and not going your way or of your approval, nothing has surprised God about your life, and God loves you. There's a hymn of faith in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. And here Habakkuk was in a time when there was black backsliding and there didn't seem like there would be any hope. And the crops weren't good in the time of Habakkuk either. And at the end of his short book, Habakkuk, he prays a prayer of faith, called a hymn of faith probably. And so that whatever happened, God would assure him that everything was going to be all right, that it would always be enough. Whatever you're going through, just take this. God is always going to make sure there's enough for you. May not give you everything you want, but God will meet your need. My God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He doesn't run out of stuff. He's God. And in the time of that, Habakkuk prays a prayer labeled as a song. And it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive tree may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. It sounds pretty helpless, doesn't it? And the prophet says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk upon my high hills. Amen. Thank God that He's promised that there will always be enough. No matter what, no matter how it looks, God will help you, and there will always be enough. Praise the name of Jesus.